Welcome to GleeCast,
the twice monthly
home of
movies about Glee or dancing or singing or something. It's just stuff we want to watch. Just go with it.
And casting. Here are your hosts, Emily and Erica.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Ooh, it's the holiday
December.
Time. Now, we're going to get to our special holiday movie, but before we do, it's such a holiday that we have a holiday guest.
We do, a very special holiday guest.
You might know him as Santa Claus.
If you live in my building, I am Fozzie Bear, but I'm also known as Santa Claus in my building.
I'm sorry,
I
you
play
do,
Santa every year. For
are all you doing it again this year?
I am doing it.
Even though the kids know, some of them know?
Well, there's that one little girl that knows she called me out, but I killed her.
Good.
Honestly.
The first
time she called me out on it, did I tell you that?
You thought about killing her.
I did. Like,
Your first instinct was...
I know you're Santa. I was like, I have to kill this girl.
Right.
Like, I can't
elimination.
Because,
I mean, the more kids that know the truth, then the magic dies because it's all about believing. Right?
They keep popping out kids in my building, so there's new ones that are stupid, so
all
they'll
right.
believe
so
it.
So that works out. Yeah. So we've got our guest star, Fozzie. We've got your host, Emily, and
Erica,
just in case that wasn't clear from the intro.
I haven't been here in years. Last time was when Gwyneth was on Glee. That was the last time
I
was on Glee.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like season two or three.
Season two, I think?
Yeah, because it was like...
Season two. Because like season three, there was a wedding and stuff.
It was like the first time Fozzie and George came to your apartment.
Yeah, those were old times. My old apartment.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's a while ago.
Those were different bagels and everything.
Oh, I remember that. Good
times. Yeah, wow. Well, a lot has changed. Glee has changed a bit. Gwyneth Paltrow became the world... People Magazine's most beautiful woman was
really?
Gwyneth Paltrow. Yeah, and then there was all that like hubbub about it because she was like won the People's whatever... I don't know if you win it or if they just put you on the cover. And of course, immediately the backlash was so intense because people were like, oh yes, I would be beautiful too if I had $9 million a day to keep myself pretty. That it just became like this like really like big story. This was, I think, last year.
Oh. But
yeah.
Adam Levine, we're all good with that, right? As the sexiest man.
I knew him from, I knew he was American Horror Story. He was on that, right?
Yeah.
Right. That's honestly the only way I would know him. So sure. What do I care?
Okay, good.
Indeed.
We'll let that one fly.
So should we tell the people what we're going to talk about today?
Yes, we should.
Okay.
It's a very special holiday edition.
It is a holiday edition. This is a movie that is an untold story, if you will.
Yeah, it's your pick, so you do background.
Okay, so in 2009, this movie came out in Europe, we think. $90 million budget, big extravaganza of a film. It is a musical. It is a fantasy. It is occasionally like a ballet and stuff. It also is a bit of a societal metaphor for stuff. Would you agree? Yeah?
Yeah.
There are special effects. There is classical art in it. There are Tony Award winners in this movie. There are Oscar nominees in this movie. Mm-hmm. This movie is 2000 and released in the States in 2010. The Nutcracker in 3D, or its original title, The Nutcracker, The Untold Story.
Very special film.
A special film.
So what about background for you? How did you find this movie?
I remember when it kind of came out and went, and it just got very terrible reviews, which instantly put it on my radar, of course. But I had no plan to ever see it until Brandon, my fiancé, this was before he was my fiancé, told me he went
we
to see it.
We haven't even made that announcement
have
on
we
the
not?
Show yet.
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't remember.
No, you did it on Feminine Critique.
I know, that's why I'm all confused.
Yeah.
Hi, yes, everybody, I now have a fiancé. It's
Yay!
Exciting because I get to say a fiance.
And the wedding is next Labor Day.
Everybody's
invited. Everybody's
guys. Invited.
Everybody's
come on.
Invited. You'll figure out where it is.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Just come.
Just follow the doll parts. You'll get there. So yes, that's exciting.
Exciting.
And I, you know, but this is one of those things that made like there's always that list of things about your lover, your fiance, your husband, your anything, where you like keep on the list of like, ooh, maybe I shouldn't take that step. One of them being. Obviously, that's always one. That, you know, certain movies he doesn't like coconut. I really like coconut, so it makes it hard to share food sometimes.
Oh, okay.
You know, so it's like I can't order this giant coconut sundae because I have no one to share it with. Tiramisu, same thing.
Right.
Oh, God. I know, right? Come on.
That's weird.
But one of the things on there was that Brandon went to see this movie in the theater. He paid money to go see it in 3D, no less. And at about, we were watching it. I'd say it was maybe like the 35-minute mark. He walked out. He left this movie, did not care to see the rest of it.
That's the movie we're dealing with, folks.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, of course, that's the thing that kind of kept me from being, like, from immediately saying yes to the proposal. It was like, wait, can we finish watching the movie first at least? So yeah, point being, that's how I originally heard about it. So then I guess it was 2 years ago, I finally rented it from Netflix and watched it and was just jaw to the ground the whole time of, oh my God, this is a movie.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, I think it is one of the weirdest big budget movies to come out in recent years. Directed by a guy whose name I'm not even going to try to pronounce, but he's the guy who directed Tango and Cash.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that's all really all I can. He directed other stuff too, but really, Tango
Kashofsky.
Tango Kashofsky Stallone. Yeah.
He's German or Russian?
Sure.
Russian.
Based on this movie, we're pretty sure they're all like Serbian or something.
Yeah.
So I just found this movie to be the biggest what the fuck movie I've seen in a really long time. And I don't know anybody in the world else who has seen it. So it has been my goal the last few years to get more people to see it. So
good at that.
I've gotten two people right here. Two more people, folks.
Well, you know, I told you I recently found, I've decided I want to do this thing on Facebook. Just put a picture of a random movie on Facebook every week and be like, and tell people, okay, describe this movie based on the poster.
Plot synopsis, but, go.
Right. Everyone I'm finding, though, I'm like, I bet Emily's seen this. Like, everyone that's like completely bizarre, I'm like, I know she probably has the Blu-ray of this movie.
Yeah, there's, oh God, what was the name of that movie? The one about the boy who gets shrunken down. It was like a Norwegian movie. He gets shrunken down to like tiny size and goes into his grandpa's stomach because his grandpa has a kidney infection.
What's sad is I know what you're talking about from listening to you talk about these things.
Yeah.
Right? So it's very commonplace for you. But
I'm like,
people.
Oh, yeah, the kidney movie. Right.
Chasing the Kidney Stone. That was it.
That was the movie.
The movie was called Chasing the Kidney Stone.
I've had a kidney stone. You do not joke about kidney stones.
No, this movie wasn't. I mean, this movie was very similar in some ways to The Nutcracker in 3D.
Okay.
Because it was clearly like made on this scale of like, we're going to be fantasy. But that movie's really gross because it's people like as your appendix, and like there are kidney stones, and like the little boy has to fight them. It's really fucking weird, but amazing, and I recommend it to everybody. Chasing the Kidney Stone, go.
See, you watch that weird shit.
I know,
and
I do.
This weird shit.
This is pretty weird. So, the Nutcracker. Most people know the story of the Nutcracker.
Yeah, little girl gets a Nutcracker. It comes to life. She has to fight the Mouse King.
Mm-hmm.
There's dancing, ballet, sugar plums.
Yeah.
End of story.
Simple. Right. It's a heartwarming Christmas tale about imagination.
Right.
Right. In some tales, like, the girl looks a little older and there's, like, a bit of a romantic chemistry with the Nutcracker sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's played very innocently and they're just kids and it's all happy. Now, this one kind of goes in the middle, I guess you could say. So it takes place in what time period did we decide?
We ultimately decided it was the 1920s in Vienna.
Sure.
Yeah.
According to IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
But we were all over the place and we're watching it. We're like, what is this, the 40s?
Well, because 15, you have, 70? Like, costuming choices that at one point seem very, like, Victorian. And then the next scene, little girl is played by Elle Fanning, plays the lead role. She's like, I have to go get dressed. And she comes down dressed like Madonna.
Yeah.
She has got lace gloves without fingers.
80s Madonna.
Yeah, 80s Madonna. Big pearl, like, oversized pearl necklace. Curly hair with a giant bow to the side. Like, it's all very confusing.
But then we have horse-drawn carriages.
Yeah.
And motorbikes.
Freud. Yeah.
And we should introduce the big name attached to this movie. There's a few, like, names that you recognize, but the big name on this one, especially for our listeners, would be Nathan Lane. You know, Tony Award-winning Nathan Lane. Plays the part of the uncle, who, of course, the uncle is the one who gives Clara the Nutcracker. In this case, he's Uncle Albert. I don't think they ever say his last name, but he is Uncle Albert Einstein.
Quite obviously.
Very obviously. You kind of gather that aside from the fact that he has, you know, Einstein hair, from the fact that he sings a song about
the theory of relativity.
Exactly like it is. For anybody who's like listening and is immediately going to go watch this movie, please turn on the subtitles before you do.
Oh, it's so funny. And they said strong German accent when, in parentheses. It's not a strong German accent when he does it. It's like he's talking, and every once in a while he remembers like, oh shit, I'm supposed to be German. And he'll just say Z.
Yeah,
like,
or he'll make his W's V's.
Exactly.
You could tell it was might have been written phonetically.
Right.
It's hard to tell.
It's all just him speaking until he gets to a W or a Z.
Yep. For some reason, he is the only character that speaks to the camera occasionally.
Yeah,
he doesn't do it all the time, just a few times. And it's really, it's upsetting when he does
well,
it.
Well, the first time it happened, I thought that it was his point of view talking to someone. And I'm I wonder who he's talking to.
Yeah.
And then you slowly realize, like, oh, shit, it's me.
It's that Hannibal Lecter moment.
He's talking to me.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Oh, God, I have to take part in this? Oh, God.
It's the Hannibal Lecter moment where Clarice goes to see Hannibal and he's looking straight. You think he's looking straight at her, or no, he's looking at her badge because he's like, oh, hold up your badge. And he's looking. And then he moves his eyes down and you realize, oh my God, he was looking at her the whole time, not at her badge. Yeah. And it's really unsettling. It's kind of the same thing.
That's exactly how I felt. Like he was going to eat my liver.
Mm-hmm. But with more classical music. Right. you might recognize the lyricist for this, everybody. Now the music.
Little known celebrity.
Little known. The music is pure Tchaikovsky. I mean, obviously it's been reorganized and stuff, but it is Dance with the Sugar Plum Fairies and all of the Nutcracker Suite and all the songs from the Ballet of the Nutcracker. But I don't know about you. Every time I watch the Nutcracker Ballet, I'm like, you know what this needs? Lyrics.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they hired the best. They hired Tim Rice.
Tim fucking Rice. To do this. And you pointed out something really good, that you cannot understand a word. We had the subtitles on, but when you're not looking at them, it makes no sense. It's all just what they're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very hard to hear. And the lyrics are also terrible.
Right.
And granted, we're reading them, not listening. And sometimes when you read lyrics, they never look right. But like, and that's our, or at least my theory is that Tim Rice didn't actually write this, but he gave it to like his intern or somebody else to do this job. Cause the rhyme, the words don't quite rhyme.
Yeah, there's not a lot of rhyming.
No. And then when they do, they're really simple rhyme, like it's and fits, like it's just as simple as it can get. And it's not clever or anything, but it's weird.
Like they forgot, like he forgot that he had to do this. He was supposed to play music, and then like the night before, he's like, shit.
It's like, oh crap.
And his niece was spending the night with him. And he's like, hey, let's play a fun game.
Okay. I'm going to say a word. You're going to say the first thing that you think of that rhymes with it. Go. My Little Ponies. Okay. All right. We've got to work that in. We got this. But now, to me, the best song, other than Theory of Relativity, is...
I could not name one other song in this
movie. I don't know the names of any. I'm just making up the names of the songs, too.
You do that on
so
the show.
So once we go into the magical world, I love those. That's what I do. We go into this magical world. It's all magical. There's a sugar plum fairy
she's like a snow fairy. She's not even the sugar plum fairy.
She does teach us all a really great lesson, though.
You can fly.
You can fly. And you, at home, you're thinking, I can't fly.
Yeah.
Well, have you ever tried?
Exactly. And that is the line that she tells young Elle Fanning, who then jumps off a Christmas tree. And guess what, guys? She can fly.
That same thing came up in that movie. I don't even remember what it was called. The Wiggle Bums that came out last year.
Oogie Loves.
Oogie Loves.
I still haven't seen it. Was it good? Did you see it? Oh, my God.
See it. Are you kidding? But everybody was talking about that. They do the same thing where, like, one of the kids is like, I just have to believe in myself and I can fly. And he jumps out of a tree and he does.
Yeah.
So
and then the three children that went to see that movie jumped off chairs and died.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Can I just back up? I always loved listening to GleeCast because I did listen from the beginning, almost the beginning. But I love how you don't know the title of any song.
I don't.
Even if it's a really common song, you're like...
Well, I know. I just take the lyric I hear the most and assume that's the name of the song.
You're like, oh, you know that Michael Jackson song, Show 'Em How Funky? It's Beat It. It's Beat It, obviously.
Well, I mean, that one I might have gotten. Thriller I probably would have gotten. Billie Jean, but anything.
You know that song you're fighting for your life? No, it's Thriller. It's not fighting for your life. It's Thriller. You always go like one line.
Yeah, well, past it's just the line title. That sticks out to me.
The best part is that what no one can see is that she would make outlines for us to follow record so that we're on the same page and whatever, so to speak. And that's
helpful.
What she would have written down is like these weird, and I'd have to like decipher which song she was talking about.
Right.
And oh, it was this song. Okay.
Here's how Glee could have solved that problem to get back to Glee. They could have just had in the corner, like whenever it was a music video, video text where they were saying like Vogue, artist, Madonna, blah, blah, blah. Like, hey, that would have solved my problem. But the show clearly stopped serving me a long time ago.
Do you guys even still watch? I don't even know where we
stand. I still do. I don't watch it. I watch it kind of when I can. So I like this past episode I recorded and I watched half of it and I'll finish it whenever. The episode 2 weeks ago was I can't remember anything about it, but I thought it was okay. I thought it was better than it had been. But the episode before that pissed me off. So I'm still on I'm either mad or happy or can't tell.
I came back for the Finn Memorial.
What did you think of that episode?
I thought it was, you know, it's never good when they do this on a show. When they write a character's death in, it always either seems cheap or it seems
exploitative.
It's
very hard to pull off.
Yeah, and I don't think they pulled it off, quite honestly. I don't. Yeah. Like, it seemed cheap and exploitative.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt the same way.
Yeah.
And I didn't. I actually liked how they handled it.
We talk about, which episode do we talk about?
Oh, the Cannibal the Musical episode, I think.
Maybe? Was it?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
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 Well, we talked about it on one of our recent episodes.
Okay, I haven't heard that one yet. All right.
Yeah, I thought, especially because my expectations for it were so low, I'm like, oh, God, how bad is this going to be?
Right.
And I thought they managed to do it fairly tastefully in a fairly respectable way.
I'm not going
to
say I didn't cry several times watching it. I'm such an easy target.
I cried during
that.
Robin Williams and Jack, so to me that doesn't mean anything.
I'm an easy target, but then when I think about it objectively and I look back, there's no way to do it. I wish they had just kind of gone on, never
just
not
ignoring
said a thing.
And,
because, you know, or what was the other show? News Radio, when they did
Phil Hartman.
Phil Hartman. When he died.
Phil Hartman.
It was just sad, and they tried to, they should just stop. I don't even want him to go on, I just want him to stop.
Yeah.
Like, you guys all have careers now, just go get a recording
keep
contract,
going.
Get a
you
movie.
All got something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wish that's what they had done.
Mm.
Yeah, and I wish somebody would have killed the director of this movie, speaking of dying.
Whoa.
Wish he'd have overdosed.
Whoa. But you kind of liked it, I thought.
I kind of did, actually. Yeah. That was hard to say. But, like, when it was done, like, I don't think I hated it as much as you expected me to.
Oh, yeah. It's... Well, I didn't think you would hate... I thought you would be amused by it.
I was. But it's visually beautiful. Like, the set design is amazing.
Yeah, the
movie.
$90 million it wasn't wasted entirely.
You can see the money. You can see the budget.
Yes.
And I'm a... I'm such a sucker for steampunk, and I know it's stupid. I love the aesthetic,
though. Oh, it can look great, though, sometimes.
In movies, I love the aesthetic in movies, and they did that really well with the... Instead of a mouse king, it's a rat king in this movie.
It's a horrifying rat king, played by John Turturro, everybody.
Oh, my God. The role he was born to play.
Oh, with a very, like, Andy Warhol meets, like, a Japanese pop singer haircut.
Yes.
It was. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah, very much. And he gets, to me, the show-stopping number. Because he is the villain. He is the rat king. And he sings this number about being evil. And my favorite set decoration is that his palace, which, by the way, the rats are all Nazis. It's very clear. But his palace decorated. He has a wall art, and it's all just gigantic blown up pictures of children crying, which is kind of awesome. But the Rat King sings this great toe-tapping number about being evil and a rat king and hating Jewish people. But we'll get to that. Now, while he's doing this, you have the children on the wall, and you also have a giant shark tank with a shark just swimming back and forth menacingly the whole time.
Right.
So you're like, what the fuck are they going to do with that shark? Are they going to feed the nutcracker to the shark? Like, what are they going to do? So he sings this song. He finishes it. What's the finale of the song, folks? What does he do?
He electrocutes the fucking shark.
His own pet shark.
Yeah. Just to prove how badass he is.
Because if it's one thing to own your own pet shark, it's another thing to own it just to kill it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like that. I do that every once in a while.
Yeah.
Just,
you got to show people who's boss. Like, you have to show you mean business. Exactly. It's like, that's why you always go through a lot of wives and husbands, right?
Right.
You have a really handsome husband, a really beautiful wife. And then just when somebody is going to threaten them, you're just like, oh, yes. And then you just shoot them in the face. And it's like.
Or whenever I adopt a new dog, I always adopt two new dogs because I kill one of those dogs just to make the other one knows.
The other one knows to never feel safe.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's the first mistake of life. Seat. Exactly.
It was awesome, though. I love – it reminded me of what's the puppet movie, the Team America World Police, you know, where he has the catfish swimming behind him or goldfish or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Kim
the Jong piranhas, Hill. Are they?
But they're actually not, though.
I can't remember. I haven't seen that in a while.
I know. And you see that in a movie
again. We could do it for the show. But Erica doesn't like the South Park guys, so we can't.
That's such a great trope, though, of having just a fish tank behind
you and
killer animals.
Just it's because at some point you're going to throw something of value in there.
Exactly.
You just don't know what yet.
One day I'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping this new office manager job might pay me enough to
get a fish tank.
My fish tank office.
It's going to be your first decision in this work environment. Well, I'll tell you what this office needs. A fish tank.
Right? Did you guys see that movie, Were Them Illers?
Were Them Millers?
We're the
Were
Millers.
The Miller, were
the Millers.
But the first time I saw it, I thought it was Were Them Illers? What is that?
Better title. That one I saw.
You did see that one?
No, Were the Millers.
Oh,
were
you
the
saw
Illers,
Were
I
Them
saw.
Illers.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a classic.
I didn't see Were the Millers, no.
He has a orca whale in the preview.
Ooh,
that's
good.
The one thing that made me want to kind of watch that movie.
Sure.
I thought that was hilarious. He's just talking and a giant orca whale swims behind him. He's like, I told you, I'm really rich.
That's pretty good.
It keeps getting like people I don't expect to keep being like, oh, it was really funny. And I'm like,
really? Made a lot of money.
Like, was it though? I don't know.
My friend Melissa has been trying to get me to watch, what's Adam Sandler and her and Rachel Green. What's her name?
Jennifer Aniston.
I
know kind of what you mean,
See,
but not.
It's like we don't care enough to even know the title of this.
No.
We know it's going to be awful. Was it good?
No.
See?
Same thing, I think of, like,
serviceable. Like, I watched it. I didn't turn it off, but I wasn't like, this is hilarious.
She has told me for months that I need to see this movie because it's the funniest thing she's ever
seen.
See,
I go back to, like, 2003, and I had a friend who kept doing that with Zoolander.
Yeah.
She was like, no, you really have to watch it. I'm like, no, I really don't. She's like, no, you really do. And then I did, and I was like, no, I really don't have to. But then, like, a year later, I rewatched it. I was like, oh, my God, I do have to watch this movie.
Oh, it is good.
Maybe Zoolander gets, again.
I don't know what it is. It gets better every time you watch
it. Does it? Because I didn't like it.
The third time you watch it, it is.
Yeah, I don't care for him much.
The third time, it's amazing.
Is it?
Second time, it's funny. The third time, it's amazing. Okay. I don't know how this works.
By then. Did you just do it all in
no,
a row?
No, the gasoline fight. There's so much in it that's really amazing.
Were you just tied to a dolly with your eyes pinned open? By the third time, you had given in.
Come to think about it, that is why I needed all those eye drops for years. That's when I had to started to wear glasses, too. It all makes sense now.
And like the third time when you laughed, they let you go. You're like, oh, no, I see. It's funny now. Will you please untie me?
And I will tell everyone. I will tell them all.
No, I can't. I can't bring myself to. Maybe I'll watch it again sometime. The first time I didn't, and also it was marred by the
9/11 thing.
You can't help but have that in your mind.
Yeah.
When I saw it, and I saw it right after 9/11, and I couldn't help but think about it. So it didn't. Maybe I need to watch it again with a fresh, clean slate.
New time. Yeah.
But it's like my mom has been trying to get me to watch Wild Hogs for the past 10 years. She said it's the funniest movie.
Oh, you would
movie.
Love that movie.
No. She thinks it's the funniest thing she's ever
seen.
We're
talking about this. That's what my mom is like with The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, see? Oh, my mom is like that too with Big Bang. Yeah. And what's the other awful one? 2 and a Half Men.
Oh, thankfully, my parents don't watch them.
Oh,
that
thank God.
One, I can't do. I watch The Big Bang Theory, but that's besides the point.
Yeah, well, that one's almost serviceable. I just, like, I think I'm too late to it, but 2 and a Half Men is, like, painfully unfunny.
Bad, bad, bad.
Painfully unfunny. Yeah. I did watch the episode, the transition episode between Charlie Sheen and Ashton Kutcher. I just wanted to see what they were going to do.
Everybody did. It was, like, the highest rated show since MASH.
And it started with his funeral. Everybody was at Charlie Sheen's character's funeral, and they kept making jokes, and, like, everybody was, like, dropping stuff in the coffin, and it was just dark and
mean. Kinda
mean.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
I remember hearing people saying it just felt too mean.
Yeah. It wasn't for me. I'll never watch that.
Now, this movie doesn't have a mean bone in its body, does it not?
Oh,
it's,
no.
I know, we don't even know what to say because I screamed several times.
See, okay, because there are some of the things that make you scream. There is a scene where, now, the Nutcracker, who is horrifying in his own self.
Right.
The Nutcracker is at first kind of a doll, and he's not like... Typically, he's not a Nutcracker doll. He's made of wood and looks wooden. And when he talks, he looks like the South Park Canadians.
Yeah.
You know the way they're like two footballs that like open up and talk? That's how he talks. But he's a CGI thing. And he just moves. And every time he moves, it's creepy. And he scurries. And when he scurries, it's very awful.
It's kind of like Robert Panini's...
Robert Panini's Pinocchio.
Robert
completely.
Panini's Pinocchio.
I mean, they would make a great double bill, except it'd be a really painful double bill.
Yeah.
But the Nutcracker, it's the voice who did... The woman who did Moaning Myrtle in Harry Potter. So she's got this very high-pitched British voice. And it's awful and annoying and painful.
And I don't... Because, like, he comes alive. At some point, he's not a doll
He's
anymore,
like a little boy.
And he's a little boy. Why didn't they just get that little boy to do the voice?
Because that
would have
made sense.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's not the Russian way of doing things.
It's kind of like Casper. Remember the Casper movie?
Yeah.
When he became a live boy, he was
Devon Sawa.
Yeah, he was Devon Sawa. Yeah. Why didn't they get Devon Sawa to do the voice the whole time?
Right, because Casper is like, you kind of think of as this like cute little thing, and then all of a sudden he's like, this handsome 14-year-old boy.
A 14-year-old.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird to me, because you think of the whole, like, Casper could have been around when she was taking a shower and all these other things. It's very disturbing.
Just go with it.
Oh, just
That's
go with it.
Movie.
That's not a movie.
That's a
okay.
Movie.
That, God, what a terrible title for a movie.
Yeah.
That was a title that was bound to be forgotten.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it's kind of announces its mediocrity in the
exactly.
title, doesn't
like,
it?
Like, no, just
we
go.
We know it's not good.
Come on,
just
go with
watch.
It.
Your mom thinks it's funny. Just watch.
Just watch. Please
just make your mom happy.
You'll have something to talk about at the holidays.
Exactly.
So with the Nutcracker, so now, seriously though, the rats are Nazis.
No, obviously.
Yes, like, it's a thing. Like, they dress like SS officers.
They have a little symbol that's
they
like...
They have a little tiny symbol. It's not too swastika-y. I think it could have been more swastika-y.
It could have been.
I have a feeling somebody, one of the producers, was like, Andre Koskovsky, you gotta rein it
in.
You gotta
rein
it
in. A
little bit. And they, now... What they have done is invaded this land of humans, and they've taken over
because the prince, the Nutcracker, is actually a prince.
Right, they've turned him into a Nutcracker.
Right, and ousted him, and they've taken over the town, and
they're burning because they hate the sun.
Right,
the Rat King can't deal with the sunlight, so in order to keep it blocked, they have to keep smoke going at all times.
Right,
the way they do that is they have built these like smoke houses, I think is what they called them.
Yeah,
other
like incinerators
other
with
words for
smokestacks.
Yes. And what do you burn? Well, you burn toys. Right. This is what they do. Now, mind you, the Nutcracker we know is a living thing. And we meet other toys who come to life and are living things, which means these toys are living things. They're not just burning like wood.
Like anybody would ever send a living thing to an oven.
Right.
I call that's bullshit. True. Yeah. That would never happen.
No, not in an organized society.
Exactly.
In the 20th century. Come on.
He just wanted order, and he wanted like people to be
as good as they could be. As good as they could be.
And
you weren't
going to
get that with toys. Toys are an inferior race.
Right.
Right? They are not as good as non-toys.
Right. Well, I'm not going to argue that. Well,
exactly.
Quite obviously.
Yeah.
There was a propaganda in this, too. Like, you know, they kept seeing, like, posters on the wall. And, like, he would sing songs, and everybody would have to sing along with them.
Yep.
It's called Ratify.
Yeah,
Ratify.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
It's what I said watching it this time that I agree with heartily now, as after I've already said it, is that this would have been a decent graphic novel.
Yeah.
Like, it visually, like, again, the visuals are cool. There's a lot of steampunkishness going on.
Right. Well, I think we're thinking of Mouse, too.
We are, totally.
M-A-U-S.
Which might have been what this was in part based on.
Yeah, it really was. Because, I mean, mice, but that was the cats were Nazis, right?
I think the cats
and the mice were Jews. You have it somewhere, right?
I don't know. He would know.
Yeah, but I think if I recall right, the cats were Nazis and the mice were the Jews.
People are always trying to demonize cats. That's why.
Well, look
it's like
at
two
it.
cats versus dogs movies, and in both of them, the cats are the villains. Come on, that's just a separate thing. It's like when you make Germans the villains and everything, or Russians the villain and everything.
Aloof.
It's a little.
Evil.
It's a little too easy. My cats aren't aloof.
Well, what the one that's hiding under the bed that I've never seen?
Okay, no, she's no, it's true. She plots my death. I know it. I do have a feeling that Misha is deep down trying to kill me.
Yeah.
I haven't brought it up to Brandon because I don't want it to like be the thing that breaks us up, because I don't want it to be that like stepmother paranoia kind of thing. But I really do think Brandon's cat wants to kill me.
Maybe
she's going to start poisoning your food.
Just a little bit a day.
A
just like flowers in the
time.
Attic. I'm going to start eating my like, I didn't think I had powder on these donuts. Oh, well. And then,
she's under the bed grinding peach pits every
day.
Every day.
Your food. For a while, Mookie was trying to kill Brandon, but he's since gotten over that after, like, I was gone for a week and, like, or a couple days, and Mookie realized he wasn't going to eat if he was a dick.
Mookie doesn't have stick-to-itiveness either. Oh, God, he probably just got bored doing it.
Yeah, he would give up.
I was like, oh, this is hard.
I'm just going to watch TV. Yeah.
Plotting a murder is so hard, you guys.
See, because it's, and, I mean, cats are like us guys. Some of them are just lazy jackasses.
Yeah.
So there. Stop making them Nazis.
That's your lesson for this episode.
Exactly. If you walk away from this episode with nothing else, it's that cats aren't Nazis.
So
or not all cats are Nazis.
Not all cats.
Not
but
all cats.
So the Nutcracker.
Nutcracker.
So the Nutcracker and Elle Fanning. Is it Elle?
Elle Fanning.
Okay.
This is Elle, yeah.
So they both go, how do they, how, what happens? He
so,
gets, oh, right. Oh, no, I remember.
He gets kidnapped like five times. She gets kidnapped five times.
So the most terrifying part of this movie.
God, there's so many terrifying parts of this movie.
She comes back down the second night. For some reason, I thought all this took place on one night. Isn't that how the regular
well,
Nutcracker
Well, it's
works?
Like supposed to be a dream. It's supposed to be Christmas Eve, and this is her dream. And I guess that's what happened.
Because in this one,
she like she wakes up halfway through when her parents come home.
Oh, so that is the same night.
And then I
but
think
she does
they,
but then it's like they the
no,
parents come
I
in
think,
and out like three more times in this movie, don't they?
And then I think they like sent. Well, she wakes up the one time when the
nurse, nanny
the
comes
nanny
in, the maid, the alcoholic
her.
Maid.
Yeah, the maid finds her when she falls out of bed and the exploding pillows. So that's one time. Then she goes back to bed. It's the same night.
Right.
And then I think she wakes up again when the parents come home and they get mad and then they're like, go back to bed. We'll deal with this in the morning.
But
and
then Uncle Albert comes back over.
The pebble song the next day.
Right. Yes. That's the next morning.
There's
that's
a song about
Christmas
magic pebbles.
Morning.
Okay.
And then
we're not kidding.
She gets in a fight with her. She goes upstairs after the pebble song. She gets angry. She goes to the attic and that's when she falls back to sleep because they go through the mirror.
Yeah.
I thought all this took place on Christmas Eve, not Christmas.
It's Christmas. It's both. It's Christmas Eve into Christmas Day.
I mean, that's just how I've never seen The Nutcracker. I assumed it was all Christmas Eve.
Oh, yeah,
dream.
I don't know.
I think it is
Nutcracker.
In the Nutcracker. I believe it's just
okay.
one
it's just
night of dream.
So anyway, so the second or third time she comes back down to deal with this. And this is my favorite part of the entire movie, actually.
The pebble
set.
Song? Oh.
No, I'm sorry. The set, when she first walks into the room where the Christmas tree is and
oh,
sees
yeah.
how huge
yeah.
everything is. And the tree is like, you know, 10 times its size and there's no roof and it's going up into the sky. That was beautiful.
Yeah, there's some really prettiness in this movie. And you could like, and I mean, we kind of turned it on in the background before. It was the making of, which on the DVD, there was like a 90-minute making of this movie. And they go through like, there was a lot of storyboarding on this movie.
But It's funny you pointed this out. There's no IMDb trivia for this movie whatsoever.
Yes.
And, like, so people, because, like, usually you said IMDb
trivia.
Like,
IMDb trivia is somebody has listened to the director's commentary and watched every special feature, and then they just go on the commentary listing and, like, add every fun fact they learned. This movie, which has a 90-minute making of where they give so many facts about this movie, nobody cared enough to actually write any of those down on IMDb.
But, you know, I have to point out, the woman who plays the mom, they interviewed her several times, and she's just telling you how to write a script, but the easiest stuff.
First you need a typewriter, and you type things down.
Like, well, without conflict, you have no story. And I'm like, oh, conflict. Okay, got it. And then later she's like, well, you can't have the parents believe right away. The parents have to believe later. And I'm like, okay, oh, more conflict. Got it. Okay.
And there's something else.
Useless information.
Yeah, there's a weird decision in this movie where the parents are played by this crazy woman who I think is married to the director. And Richard E. Grant plays the dad. Richard E. Grant is
he's great.
Fantastic. You've seen him in Bram Stoker's Dracula and L.A. Story. What's the movie everybody always talks of?
Evita? Wasn't he in Evita?
No, he wasn't in Evita. It's Jonathan Pryce.
The other one that I confuse with him.
He looks like Jonathan Pryce.
Yeah.
He was in that movie that, oh, God, the, like, not O.C. and Stigs. It's, like, another movie where it's blank
Lilo
and blank.
Stitch.
Yes, that's it.
Tango and Cash?
Tango and Cash. Yes, he was a stunt double for Sly Stallone. So Richard E. Grant, who's an awesome actor, and he plays the stuffy dad. And now
it's very Mary Poppins.
It's Mary Poppins-esque. It's also Peter Pan-esque. And then when they go into the world, the fantasy world, a lot of the adults are double cast. So you have the maid is John Turturro's mother in this fantasy world. And that's a whole other thing.
The Rat Queen.
The Rat Queen. Right. And the her mother is the Snow Queen. Mm-hmm. So you would think Richard E. Grant should be in this world. And ideally, he would be the villain. Would make sense because he's kind of villainous in the real world. He's kind of like an uncaring dad, blah, 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 all business. But instead, he's not at all. And we feel like that was probably a contract thing. Where Richard E. Grant read the script was like, fuck no.
Yeah.
No. And I'm only going so far and making a fool out of myself.
He is kind of rat-faced anyway. I mean, he's an attractive
guy. He would be
guy.
A really good rat king.
He would, but he's kind of rat-faced.
Great. Yeah. John Turturro has... And we that's another thing we said. My thing about bad movies is I enjoy bad movies, but when they're boring, I'm not happy. And this movie, everybody tries. Everybody gives it their all. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, they do. Like, and the special effects aren't bad at all.
No,
the sets are great.
Mm-hmm.
The music, like, they got good people to do the music.
You know.
Like, it's so much that could have gone right that just went horribly wrong.
Yeah.
And I think that you need limitations. This is something that Freddie from Night of the Living Podcast always says, that you need somebody to kill your baby. If you're going to write and direct and produce your own movie, you need somebody to do your editing for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they just gave this guy kind of free rein, and that's where it went off the rails. They had nobody to tell him no.
Yeah, because he is the writer and director and producer on this film.
And he had $90 million. Yep. He was like, I am going to go all out. But he didn't have anybody to reel him in. Even his wife. She was like, don't forget conflict, honey. That you need conflict. Write more conflict.
Can I be in another scene? Sure, we'll have you appear here and help Elle Fanning.
Oh,
wait,
conflict.
Conflict.
Yeah.
That is good. But wait, when you appear, you can't actually help her. She has to figure it out on her own. Well, then should I be in this scene? Yeah, sure. We got time.
Yeah,
just tell her you don't know.
So you don't know. Yeah, we got like an hour appears. 50 minutes is like what like the max I'm allowed to make this movie.
I love it. She appears and they have a conversation and the girl's like, but how can I help him? And she starts to fade
and she
away
just
and
disappears.
She's like, I don't know.
No. That shot probably cost like about $1 million, maybe, of the $90 million.
There are a lot of times that things like that happen. They could have shorthanded this movie.
Yep.
Like when they're climbing up the tower to get to the helicopter. Yeah. Like, we got to get to the top of this, climb and get the helicopter. And they do that. That takes a while. And then they get up. They're like, we climbed the wrong tower. There's another part of them trying to get over to the right tower. They could have, like, really cut that
There's
down.
There's a lot of editing that could have been done on this movie to make it, like, 90 minutes. It's not, it's just under 2 hours. I think it's, like, an hour 50.
Really?
Which is still too long for a kid's. And this is supposed to be a kid's movie.
Yeah.
Now,
right. That was my biggest issue with it. I think if they had, like, recut it and made it a little bit darker than it already was, it could have been, like, a fun... like twisted dark take on the Nutcracker,
right?
But instead, it would try to be a kids' movie, and there were really frightening parts in it.
And it tried to be epic
shown to
too.
Any child.
Let's talk about the I think the loudest scream Jason had.
Oh my god!
So, the Nutcracker has like three henchmen, assistants, whatever. One is a fat operatic clown. One
a fat gay operatic clown, by the way.
One is a talking chimpanzee.
Who's self-conscious about his weight.
About his weight. Even though he just keeps eating, because that's what fat people do in movies. There is a talking chimpanzee with a British accent.
But he's scary.
Posh and really, smart, though.
Like, but remember how creepy it was when Tim Burton did the Planet of the Apes movies? Like, that's what this thing is like, but it's a little cheaper, so it's a little worse.
And, well, it kind of reminded me of the Gremlins 2, the really smart gremlin, because he's like a chimpanzee, but he's like reading the paper, and
his
he has
name is
Feel
Good. Yeah, he's a monkey in a suit, which is kind of fun. But.
Yeah.
And then we have the Jamaican drummer boy.
Hey, man. Yeah, very typical.
I'm reading from a phonetically written script to be Jamaican.
Yeah.
He took his Jamaican accent lessons from...
Kendra Raven... D. Vampire Slayer?
No, from Raven Simone.
Oh, from Raven Under the Sea.
When we went on our road trip to Dollywood, I put together a playlist of just like a ton of songs. And I had a lot of Disney CDs. And one of them had Raven Simone on it doing Under the Sea. But she did it in
under
a really, really offensive Jamaican accent.
She did it like how I do it when I karaoke.
Under the Sea. No. It was really bad.
Oh,
but I like came on this playlist out of nowhere. We were like, what is this?
I feel dirty.
Every time I heard him, it was like old In Living Colors. Like, yeah. I have three jobs, Mom.
I thought that was so funny when I was a kid.
I did too.
My dad still loves In Living Color.
Oh, I do too. It's
like,
really
every
racist.
Time it's on, he is so excited.
Is it on anywhere now?
It was on FX for a while. I don't know if it still is, but you could find it airing on one of those like non-cable channels.
Gotcha.
But the Jamaican drummer boy.
Oh yeah.
So at one point,
so Elle comes down the second or third time. I started to get into this, and she's trying to find the Nutcracker, and the Rat King has kidnapped him and is holding him in the fireplace, and he has him and all three the gay operatic clown,
gay operatic clown,
the smart chimpanzee, and
the Jamaican drummer boy.
And held prisoner, and he's starting to torture them, and he walks over to the Jamaican guy, and what does he do?
He yanks his head off and throws it at Elle Fanning.
This is a human being. Have we pointed that out, that these
we
are
don't
human
know
beings?
If they're human beings or toys. Well, I mean, but if they're toys, they're being burned beings. Alive. Yeah. And if they're human beings, then their heads are being ripped off.
Right, but the point is, it's played by a human being. This is a young, like, 12-year-old
boy. Oh, and
boy.
He's a little boy, too.
And the rat walks over to this boy and rips his fucking head off and throws it to Elle Fanning.
And then they just throw it around for a few minutes.
It was so disconcerting. The second time I screamed was, they're all rat people.
And they just have, like, Whoville noses, kind of.
Yeah.
You know,
but
which is fine.
Until their face morphs when they growl, it's this huge, it's terrifying.
I'm trying to think of what it reminds me of. You know what it kind of reminds me of? Buffy season 2, Der Kinderskurve.
Okay.
The episode where she has the flu and there's, like, the Freddy Krueger, like, demon that's killing people in their sleep. And he, like...
It's like... Death itself.
Yeah. And he's got like the Freddy Krueger hat and this gigantic nostril tooth thing.
Yeah,
that's kind of what they remind me of.
A little bit. It reminds me of. So, I'm trying to think of. It's a monster movie. Oh, Tremors 2. When the Tremors can walk on ground.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah,
I love Tremors.
I do too. But Tremors 2, when they can walk and like they have the weird mouths. That's what this thing
I
looks
can see
like.
That. Yeah,
it was really creepy. And this was in 3D. You said right?
Yes.
The theater.
This was originally in 3D.
That would be terrifying because there's a part where she's locked in a metal room. And then you just see these teeth clomp through the metal and start ripping it apart. And it's Alan Cumming?
John Turturro.
John Turturro. Whatever.
Alan Cumming would have been great in that role, though.
He would have.
Oh, almost as good as Richard E. Grant.
Yeah. They a lot of missed opportunities in this movie.
Yeah, it's just a lot of things that... You just have to wonder what age this is really aimed at.
Yeah.
It's like, because it could have been aimed at, like, 12-year-olds, maybe, where it's a little bit scarier than something for, like, little kids, but it's still the Nutcracker, and it's sold as this very, like, fairy Christmas movie, so you wouldn't have 12-year-olds wanting to see it.
It's kind of like Toys. Like, I love that movie.
Oh, I do, too.
This is very, yeah.
But,
that's,
like, four kids.
My dad also loves that movie.
Good. I'm glad we're all in agreement, but it's not a kid.
Emily doesn't. Her dad.
I haven't watched it in a long time.
Okay.
I think a lot of the design is really awesome.
Yeah.
But I just found, I don't know, I couldn't find my, like.
Were you a kid when you saw it?
I haven't seen it since I was probably, like, 13 or so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know where I'd fall with it. I will. I will give it a try.
Because, like, I was an adult when I saw it, but I can understand. It's not for, it's not for eight-year-olds.
It's not for eight-year-olds, and it's not for, I don't think it's for adults. Like,
yeah.
It's a weird demographic. Which is why that movie tanked.
Right.
And why this movie tanked even worse.
You know, I was listening to a podcast about it recently, and the Toys script was one of those ones that was, like, on every list of brilliant but unproduced. Like, for years, they were saying, somebody has to make this movie. It's so good. And then they finally did it, and they're like, oh, well,
and
sorry,
is it Barry Sonnenfeld who did it, or Barry Levinson?
Barry Levinson.
Yeah. Who, I mean, who is a good director. Who, right. You know, and... You just you don't quite know where it went wrong, or if it went wrong, because you guys are saying it didn't go wrong.
It didn't.
So I don't know.
No, I like think it, but I like it, but I can see why it wasn't a success. It is a really
weird movie.
But I think we admire the weirdness.
I love it.
Yeah,
I saw it as a kid, and I love it.
But Barry Levinson is no Chaim Schaskowski.
Andrew Skarsgård-Kaska, Tango and Cash. I mean, I appreciate also any musical being made in this day and age, because you don't make them very often. Yeah. And this is a live action musical, right?
Right.
It is.
Do you, a bit of trivia, remember the movie, what's it called? I'll Do Anything with Nick Nolte?
Was supposed to be a musical, and they cut out all the songs.
They filmed the songs.
Yeah.
They filmed
James
them
James L. Brooks. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember,
do you remember
I feel
this
like,
movie?
I don't know.
It had Marge in it, the one who does
Julie
Marge
Kavner.
Voice. Julie Kavner was in it. And a little girl, Nick Nolte, was like a single dad, and it was like from 91, I think.
Around
92.
There, yeah.
It was the follow-up to, he was in Prince of Tides. It was his next movie after the Prince
Somebody
of Tides.
Interesting wrote the songs, too.
Really?
Yeah, it was, I don't think it was Sondheim, but it was somebody like, not of that level, but up there, of somebody who's like a really good, I want to say Broadway songwriter. And I think some of those songs have since been circulated in different things.
Oh, because I remember reading in Entertainment Weekly the story about why they cut the songs out, and they had screened it for some people when everybody reacted negatively. And in the article,
also 1991,
exactly,
where nobody was doing live action musicals.
In the Entertainment Weekly article, they said we're just not in a place culturally where people will believe that a character will spontaneously break into song on screen. He's like, nobody's falling for that right now. And I'm wondering what that cultural shift was, because
I'm trying to think, because like big but not big budget Chicago, I would say, would be the easy answer.
Yeah,
Chicago came out with such a like, this has to be a hit because it's big stars. Big property, like, we're going to make this a hit. And it was a hit.
Right.
And now, that's why you've had musicals since then. None have really been at the same level in terms of success. You had Nine, which was essentially the same thing, and it was terrible.
Right.
Burlesque.
Which was amazing, obviously.
But that's one of the ones where, like, she's singing on stage.
Yes.
Like,
they
would
don't,
believe
they're
that
not,
for a
yeah.
while.
Yeah.
That was my biggest problem with Showgirls. I never saw the Broadway production of Showgirls, and when I saw the movie, they were always on stage, and they were singing, and then it comes to this point where she's just singing backstage.
You're not thinking of Showgirls.
No, I'm sorry.
But I want to see that.
We're both like,
I want to see that stage version of Showgirls.
I was wondering what this thing was. No, what is it called? And I'm turning you.
Dreamgirls.
Dreamgirls, thank you.
Oh, see, I think Dreamgirls was such a good film musical.
It was, I couldn't get on board because like they'd always just been singing on stage until at one point she's just singing to her mirror, and I'm like, oh wait, is that where we are? Is that the world we're in, where people just sing like they break in a song?
See, okay, I feel like that movie, they it's done like the whole movie is kind of paced in a very like, there is dialogue, but there's almost always like music behind the dialogue.
Yeah, but they're always near a stage or rehearsing,
and because as a result the first like real song where they're doing that is like is a really stupid song. It's We Are a Family, like a giant, which is a shitty, shitty song.
Right.
So it is kind of like, oh God, maybe they shouldn't be singing not on stage. But I think that one works. But
yeah, maybe I need to see it
again.
I
don't know. I love that one. I think that one's a very underrated musical.
Well, see, I also, there's a lot of musicals since they came back that just didn't work for me. You know, I love musicals. That's why I love this. Listening to your show. But
we didn't pay him, we swear.
The movie production of Rent. I went and saw Rent. I hadn't seen it on stage. It just didn't work.
No, it's terrible.
It was so, like, this isn't the right word, but well, gritty and realistic.
With Rent, they didn't have faith in the music to have the whole thing sung.
Right.
The stage show is an opera. It's everything sung. The movie doesn't do that. So they have breaks where it's dialogue, and it's so awkward because
it rhymes.
Because it rhymes. Or they would take dialogue from the show and like try to reword it so it didn't quite rhyme. But if you know the show, you're hearing the soundtrack and you're like, this, just rhyme it. Just do it.
Right.
Which is, and I think that's a mistake movies make. Les Mis just didn't, was like, you know what? We're singing everything. We're going to do it. And it works because they force you to buy into it immediately. So you're like, okay, I guess everything's sung. I'm in. I'm fine. I'm that way. But when I think a movie doesn't trust its audience to do it, that's when I think you have a problem. And well, I think Rent was that.
And also in Rent, it was so, like, Lower East Side and gritty and gross, and, like, it just didn't seem like a musical world that people were in. And then, like, when they start singing, I'm like, oh, this is gross.
Because yeah. when they start singing, it sounds so produced.
Yeah, it does.
Like, if you're doing, I know there are some, and I can't think of any now, of, like, movies where it's done more... like even Les Mis, it never sounds overly produced because they didn't do it in a studio. They
right,
did it
live.
They did it live. And fuck you it, buy it then, and it works, yeah. Because you have Anne Hathaway's voice cracking when it should be cracking.
Yeah.
To me, the problem with actually, to keep on Les Mis, my problem is when you have, like, when Eponine is singing, and she's a Broadway performer and is singing like a Broadway performer, to me, that was kind of, that kind of took me out of it because mm-hmm. she shouldn't be singing that well right now. She is... cold shivering on a street and dying, she shouldn't be hitting every note perfect pitch. So that was kind of an issue I had where you're going for that feel sometimes, but not every actor is on board with it. So
did Elle Fanning actually sing? I don't remember.
In this movie? She did, yeah, remember she had like her little solo that's when I said Alan Menken or Tim Rice's daughter must have written.
Oh yeah, okay. So yeah. She did sing one thing.
Yeah, she talks through it.
Oh, right.
Yeah, we talked through a lot of this movie. Yeah.
I love how the prince at the end he keeps telling her how awful she looks. I think he only actually said it once, but it's so weird.
Well, it's because it's a more awkward when like when he's still the Nutcracker and like just this random line where he's like, you know, Mary, you're kind of pretty.
Yeah, kind of pretty.
But it's really awkward because then they go away from that. It's like at this point, you don't really know how old the Nutcracker is. It's not really clear the Nutcracker's a man
right.
in the beginning. And you just don't quite know if you should be rooting for them or yeah. not to get together in the end.
Well, and then, like, after the war and yeah. she's kidnapped and they're in a helicopter
yeah.
that crashes and, you know, she...
Like, she's saved his life 3 times exactly. at this point.
And then he gets turned back into a boy and she's like, you look great as a prince. And he's like, oh, you've looked better. She has, like, a cut on her forehead.
Yeah.
Her dress is ripped. Like,
he's like, oh, you should see somebody about that thing on your face.
I'm a prince now. I don't have to put up with the likes of you. Clean yourself up before you present yourself to me.
it is. He's, yeah.
Oh, it's a weird love story. And but I can weird. You know who that prince, the kid who played the prince reminded me of? You two are gonna know this. The pedophile doctor on Pretty Little Liars. And I don't think I have to put the qualifying pedophile.
Because
every man on Pretty Little Liars is a pedophile.
Oh, yeah. All of them are lusting
they
after
all date
yeah.
14-year-old girls.
And it's okay in this world.
Yeah.
It's totally okay.
Yeah, but didn't he remind you of him?
Ren.
Who was on Once Upon a Time as well. He was Sleeping Beauty's guy. The guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
He Prince was Philip?
Philip, yeah. The one who, like, is he dead? Oh, we shouldn't talk about this, because I just started watching
I'm
season 2.
I'm probably not going to watch it.
Because he was on, I was so excited when I saw him, and then, like, they killed him right away.
Hmm.
I'm like, oh, son of a bitch. Not going to get to see him anymore. Does he come back?
Well, Sleeping Beauty's not in it all that much.
Oh,
but,
really?
But I think he comes back.
Okay. All right, good. Well, that's
well, can
that's
it just be
topic.
Like American Horror Story Coven, where everybody can come back to life
yeah,
if they want?
Can come back.
I say Coven.
She says.
I can't not say. I can't
Pretty
not say
sure
it.
It's Coven,
and every
man.
Time they say it the other way, I'm like, they're saying it wrong. Yeah,
it's just what she calls it.
Coven, Coven, man, Coven.
So do you recommend this movie to everybody?
I recommend this movie to people who like bad movies.
Would it be? Is it going to be fun if somebody just rents it, or do you need to get a group together to
no,
watch it?
No, you need to watch it with people.
Yeah.
See, if you're me, you can watch it on your own. But if you're 98% of the human population, you need friends.
That astounds me, because I like watching bad movies with a group of people, but
yeah.
you'll watch anything, usually by yourself. Like,
yeah.
did you ever watch Tony Spumoni or whatever
not
that
yet,
movie
Not yet, not
yet.
I'm still waiting for, like, the right moment when I, like, when, like, I, you know, like, order nachos or
we
something
were...
and, like, sit back with a beer. I'm like, yeah, here we go!
We were out shopping one day, and I found this movie, and
room.
It had... Black Scrubs. And who
Whoopi
else
Goldberg
is in
it?
Whoopi
is in
Goldberg.
It. Danny Aiello.
Danny Aiello, yeah.
It has
it's
this,
about,
like, superstar cast, everybody.
It's about this black guy who's raised by an Italian family.
So he thinks he's Italian, but then he finds out he's black.
Yeah.
And he has to get back in touch with who he is.
And it's, like, the cover box is, like, everybody there, and they're all smiling and, like, holding pizza.
And, like, he's doing the shrug.
Right? And as soon as I saw this, I was like, Emily, come over here!
Yeah.
You gotta see this movie!
And
she
I'm like,
bought
I do.
It.
Yes, I do have to see this movie.
Like, I knew it was made for
oh,
you.
Oh, yeah. And it's another one of those movies, like, I have, like, a pile of the ones that I'm like, when I'm really in the mood for this kind of movie, and I get in the moods for these kinds of movies. But, like, realistically, would I recommend this to a parent showing it to their child? Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
Especially if they're, like, if they were Jewish, I would not recommend this at all, because this has, like, darkness. sense to it. It does. If the Holocaust upsets you, do not watch this movie.
So I'm if not you're kidding. Human, yes. don't watch it. Which Generally. Is a shame because there are a lot of great elements to it. And it's so close to being good. It honestly is close. It was just weird choices, too long.
I admire the ambition of this movie.
Yeah.
I am by the we're going to make an epic Nutcracker movie. And we're
without
gonna,
Macaulay Culkin.
That's right. We don't need him dancing in tights. Right? Although that might have made it a little better. Maybe. In its own weird. Especially if he was doing it now.
Especially if he was all cracked out doing it too. Just staggering.
Party
on
monster
stage.
Macaulay. Oh yeah. Yeah.
But so no, no recommendation.
But I would I have a hard time recommending it to normies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good use of that word.
Yeah.
But our listeners should be fine.
Yeah.
Oh, I think so.
I think you'd appreciate it. You do get
I think Joe would actually enjoy this quite a bit. He,
and
I would definitely
would
recommend
enjoy
this
reviewing
too.
It. Also.
Yes. And I want more people to watch this movie because I'm amazed that for, you know, you think of like movies like The Room and like these big movies that come out that everybody jumps on as like, oh, Battleship, like, let's make fun of this forever. That not, like, nobody talks about this movie. It only had two Razzie nominations.
Yeah. No, one Razzie nomination and then a Young Actor.
Oh,
award.
Yeah. It had one Razzie nomination, this movie, which shocks me. Like, there's a lot to this movie you could have nominated as
for
a Razzie.
But I really do think it's almost so close to good. It's just, like, weird choices that make it bad. It's not consistently bad all the way through.
Okay. So, not a director's cut, but, like, a non-affiliated director's cut
maybe.
Could make this better. Yeah.
I think so, because it's beautiful. It really is beautiful. Mm-hmm.
I think we can all agree that's the high note of the movie.
Yeah.
Is,
oh, you still do that? Oh, wait,
yeah,
you're doing
we do,
that?
We do.
Oh, okay, good.
I love having you here, because you totally just host the show for me, and I'm just like, because you totally looked at the time, saw that we were getting close to an hour, and you tried to get M to wrap
reeler
it up.
Reeler in.
It was pretty great. It's amazing. I love it. But no, we do. We still do high notes and low notes.
Okay, good. Oh, I didn't prepare anything. But yeah, I will agree.
I think that's the only real high note to the film.
Yeah.
The scenery and the not
the
necessarily
design.
The CGI, but the CGI for the set design.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The rat CGI was a little frightening.
Yeah.
And just the fact that they took a chance.
Right.
They didn't pull back anywhere, and I like that in a movie.
I think the low note is pounding you over the head with the metaphor.
That's kind of amazing.
The Nazi imagery maybe could have been pulled back a
little.
They
are forcing, if you were to go to see this and you were like 8, they are forcing your parent afterwards to have a long talk with you about the Holocaust.
Right?
Yeah. Like, that is what this movie is designed for.
Yeah. You shouldn't have to learn that at 8. There's a time and a place, and it's not at Christmas.
And it shouldn't be at a Christmas movie of all places.
It was fun. I'm glad we watched it. I had a really
I'm glad. I'm glad. Now tell your friends to watch it.
Yeah. Enjoy it.
And spread it about the world.
If you know Emily, she has the Blu-ray.
I do. Yes, I do.
I'm sure she'd be happy to loan it
to
you.
I wasn't just going to buy it a DVD. I wouldn't get the full effect.
Right. Yeah, you can do a double bill of this and Tony Spumoni.
And Tony Spumoni or Robert Panini's Pinocchio.
Right.
Which is a very... Pinocchio, I think, is worse. Because Pinocchio, God.
The cover box looks really
awful. I mean,
awful.
You should watch it, I say, with that high voice. That means you probably shouldn't watch it, or you should. Pinocchio is awful, especially if you watch the dubbed version, because it's, what's his name? The Kraft and Clueless. Nose.
Dan Hedaya?
No. The kid with the nose. He was also in Skater Kid with...
Breckenmeyer?
Yes!
Breckenmeyer! Wait, he has a nose, but it's not an unusual
nose. No, it's a weird nose. It's just this thing, right?
It's a little big.
It's a big nose.
I would never point to him with the guy
with
the nose.
We'll Google image him afterwards. What was I talking
about?
Nose in... Oh, he dubs Robert Panini. We're calling him Panini, by the way. He dubs his voice in it, which if you're thinking like, who do I need for a playful voice to be Pinocchio? I know Breckenmeyer has got to be pretty low on your list. They had to go through a lot of others before they got to him.
He does so much. What year did that come out?
It was 2000, a couple of years after Life is Beautiful, so probably like 2002 or so.
It might not have been on yet. Breckenmeyer does a lot of the voices on Robot Chicken. He does a lot of voiceover work, is my point.
But I think he plays Stoner He-Man on Robot Chicken,
I don't think he plays
he
whimsical
does,
puppet boys.
You'd be surprised at how many voices he does on that show.
Oh, okay.
Because it's basically him and Seth Green doing all the voices on that show.
Right.
Like,
what a sweet gig. Don't they have the sweetest life?
And they're like, hey, Mila Kunis, want to come hang out? And she's like, yeah, sure. And then she does some voices.
Yeah, we'll get stoned.
We'll be good. Yeah, we just have to have the recording thing equipment on.
And she's like, oh, I don't want to do a half-hour show. Like, no.
No, dude, it's like 15 minutes. It's all good.
The easiest thing.
And then there's commercials. We're fine. It's like 10.
And I'm a jillionaire. You'll love it.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, rich people.
I know. I hate them so much.
they use their $90 million to make Nutcracker movies.
Yeah. Well, that scene in the tree when they were going up in the tree, mm-hmm. that was so pretty.
It was cool.
And seeing all the different... Oh, I love that part.
Yeah.
I think I
then we got to the nuts. Yes.
Well, we know what to get Fozzie for Christmas.
There we go.
Christmas gifts. Yay.
Yeah.
So what's up next? What are you guys doing next week? Do you know?
Okay.
Next,
well, next 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Yeah. We are in December. We are in the holidays. It is holiday season. So we are actually going to do a double bill.
Ooh, exciting.
You are going to be really excited by this, too.
Yeah, you are.
Okay. So we're going to do two movies. One is a movie by friend of the show, Michael Neal, and that is Infinite Santa 8000.
Nice.
It is a full-length movie now. It is available on DVD. We will post information of where you can purchase it, which you should do.
Have you watched it yet?
I have, yes.
Okay.
It's really cool. Visually, it's awesome.
I have not got around to it yet. I keep forgetting
it's fun.
You just said this.
Yeah, I'm glad I reminded you. It's different. It's something, unlike anything out there. And it's gorgeous. The artwork is amazing. And we're going to pair that with a little movie. Came out, was it last year, year before? We were really excited about this movie, and then we just never got to go see it. And then Dear Erica got it for me for my birthday. Little thing you might have heard, starring a couple, it has that guy from Smash, isn't it? Co-stars Jeremy Jordan.
Ooh,
co-stars
Jeremy
Jesse
Jordan.
L. Martin.
Oh, shit.
It co-stars Kris Kristofferson in a very short role. Let's see who else is in it. That woman from Chicago, Queen Latifah, I believe is her name.
Yes.
And some woman named Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton, that's amazing.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's Joyful Noise.
So, is that a Christmas movie?
Funny story. No.
Oh. No.
For some reason, in my head, I was like, oh my God, we're so dumb. For December 15th, we should do Joyful Noise. And then I watched the movie. I was like, this isn't a Christmas movie.
But the words sound Christmassy.
Joy is in the title.
Yeah. They're Christians, which is Christmassy, right?
And I feel like it came out in the winter. So
it did. It came out in January. And everybody was like, oh, you know it's going to be good because it came out in January. I'm like, you know it's going to be good because it has Dolly Parton in it. Fuck you.
Did I tell you, I sprained my arm recently and I went to the orthopedist. My orthopedist worked on Dolly Parton's hands. I know.
God.
I kept trying to rub against his
hands
while I
was there.
Did
you like get some skin cells for us to drink?
I wanted to lick his hands while he's giving me my x-ray. That was amazing. Oh. So that's going to be a great show.
We're excited.
I will definitely be tuning in for that.
That's all right. So that's up next.
Good.
So that's
That's it. So where can people find you?
I have nothing other than Twitter right now. That's all I'm doing. Just follow me on Twitter. FOZZIEBARE.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's all.
And you could find us. Places.
On Facebook. I'm never on Twitter.
Twittering Erica's Knits.
No, it's
formerly.
Formally
Erica.
Yes, because I lost my. I quit Twitter and lost my name and can't get it back now, and I'm sad.
Formally Erica, and you are Deadly Dolls.
Deadly Dolls. Yeah, I'm on Twitter like once a week.
Yeah. But if somebody tweets you, you'll get it.
Maybe I will. That's really all I check. Because then if I check the conversations, it just gets overwhelming very quickly. So
And I've gotten too verbose for Twitter. I think
it's really hard to keep things under 140 now.
It is.
Oh, I don't know.
And because I'm so spoiled by Facebook, sorry, it won.
It did. It was the Blu-ray to the HD DVDs.
Yeah.
Completely.
You can have like a conversation, a back and forth, a dialogue, whereas on Twitter you have to like constantly think. And isn't it the worst on Twitter when you like write out something and you're like one letter short and you're like, okay, what horrible grammar mistake am I going to have to make?
Don't space things at that point.
Yeah, it still drives me crazy. It's that OCD thing. I can't, I'm like, I don't want to use a weird contraction or like say, Ima.
Do people still say Ima, or are we past that?
I texted you that earlier, but I know that it annoys you, so I did it. Just
Dick.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, are we done?
I think we're good.
We're
done. So
we'll
tune in next time and find us on Facebook.
Bye.
Bye.